episode 86 here, and the Lord of the Gravy is speaking, and along with me is my Earl and Duke of Gravy.
Yes.
Eddie and Dante.
Eddie's the Duchess of Gravy.
And this
Duke!
This is obviously Michael. But yeah, get it right. Earn the price. But yes, okay, so we have got a good podcast today. I mean, we're all together in the same room, so, you know, who knows what's going to happen.
It'll be mediocre at best.
Yeah.
I wish we weren't in the same room.
Dante can't break things since we're all here. I mean, I guess he could, because it's
coming
his house.
Coming to you live from my nerd
from
room.
Dante's
yes.
Nerd cave.
If only you could see the glorious room that's around here with this Tommy Bahama fan. The leaves.
That's not bad.
Alright, so
those look like the leaves from Super Mario 3.
Whatever.
Shut your mouth about that.
Okay, fine. If whatever. You're right. So yeah. Alright. So the first thing we want to kick off is, well, first we could say, fuck current Sega, but we love old Sega.
Alright, so we're going with that.
Can we just preface real quick? I was a Sega kid. I didn't have a Super Nintendo.
I was a Nintendo kid.
Never had a Super Nintendo in my life. I only had a Genesis.
Well, then something's wrong with you.
I didn't have a Genesis growing up, but I wanted one real bad. I had relatives that had them, and I got to play one all the time.
My neighbors had the Genesis, and I had all the Nintendo stuff. So I went over to their house to play, and they came over mine to play Nintendo. So, I mean, I got my fair share of Genesis. Don't get me wrong. I loved it. But my mom's like, you only get one pick.
Yeah.
Yeah, but
pick Nintendo.
So anyway, this axe to grind comes as I learned that the Sega Fox deal is over. There will be no Alien Isolation 2 because it didn't sell as well as they thought it would.
And that game was great.
It was a fantastic game. The thing is like Sega mismanaged the crap out of what they wanted to do with that franchise.
What? That doesn't sound like Sega.
What do you mean Sonic Team can't make a good Sonic game anymore?
Never
what are you talking about?
Ever.
You stop that shit right now.
Jesus.
You
Christ.
Stop it. No, like,
they put out shit at a better pace than Naughty Dog, and you know it.
A much better pace.
Yeah.
And that's about the only thing I can say. No, Colonial Marines was an absolute train wreck. Sega funneled money for that into 6 years to get a lackluster PlayStation 2 shooter. Before that, AVP3 wasn't terrible, but all they wanted were shooters.
And this
they
is coming from people
games.
That are Aliens fans.
Yeah, I'm an Alien freak.
Yeah.
For example, like, Aliens Colonial Marines was allowed to go in continue development for 6 years while stuff like Obsidian, you guys know the studio that made
Obsidian's great.
Knight of the Old Republic 2, mm-hmm. and more recently the South Park games. They were working on an Aliens game for a while called Aliens Crucible, and it was a role playing game in the same vein almost as KOTOR, and it was
speaking my language right there.
Oh, it was it was super cool. There's like 13 minutes of it of early footage of it that leaked, and it looks really cool. You're like the other characters that are with you. There's like a morale system where they can break if you don't talk to them and keep them calm and give them weapons and ammo and stuff. They can break.
Do they just
and
yell?
Run.
They just yell game over.
Game over, man.
No, they'll have a psychotic break. They'll run. They won't help. They'll just get out of there. And it was kind of like, did you ever play that game based on The Thing? Xbox.
I saw it, but I've never played it.
There was too many good games at that time.
It was around launch of like the PS2 and Xbox. It had something that was akin to that. You couldn't really trust any of your characters. They could turn out to be a thing themselves, or
they might
just turn on you if you don't continually give them like health and ammo. And
so that old game, someone could have like a chest burster inside of them, and you wouldn't know it. Like
quite
that.
Possibly,
oh, wow.
If that's something they were doing with it. But It had so many cool ideas. It was kind of based on KOTOR, except there was a little bit more active shooting. Like there's like 13 minutes of footage on YouTube. You guys should.
I saw
go
some
check
of the
video.
Yeah, I saw some of the videos.
And plus, like somebody just recently put up like a mini documentary.
Yeah.
About what happened at Obsidian and with Sega and all this stuff.
It was a shame. I would love to play that game. I don't care that it was made on an older platform. It looks great. It looks interesting.
Yeah, yeah.
Something I definitely spend time playing.
And then Sega. They didn't feel that was the way to go. They just wanted another action shooter, so they gave Randy Pitchford money that he used to make Borderlands. But that's neither here
There's
nor there.
So many stories like that. of just like mismanaged games, mismanaged studios, awesome ideas that just get left by the wayside. Yeah. And it's just, it's so disheartening that we don't get games like that.
And it's like,
so many games are just junk. Like, how does that even happen?
Well, you're absolutely right.
How do you throw away a great game to make something that's crap?
Here's the thing, because some of these franchises, like, when it's not an original IP, it's based on a franchise or something like that. Alien is almost always, or at least, you know, in recent memory, it's had its biggest days as shooters. You know, you go back to the old, like, PC games, they had, like, AVP.
Even the arcade.
Like, the old... Well, yeah, and all that stuff. But I mean, like, the thing is like, one of the biggest, or at least in my opinion, one of the best Alien experiences ever on video game form. It was a first-person game, but it wasn't technically a shooter. It was Isolation.
Yeah.
It was a fantastic game. It was scary, tense, just very, very well done.
Did you play the VR experience, too? That was even cooler.
No, never.
They had that at E3 and PAX and stuff. Like, you actually put on the headset and you play the full Alien Isolation game in VR. With the headset on. And if they actually released, I think it's only on the PC, but I'm not sure if they pulled it again or not. But if they put it on like the PlayStation or they did something like that, I would be all over that.
But that's proof that it doesn't need to be a generic action shooter to survive. Crucible would have been a great thing because I love the Colonial Marines. I love pulse rifles. I love all the stuff that has to do with James Cameron's Aliens. But not everything has to be Colonial Marines. I like, for example, I used to read all the Dark Horse comics. I like the other stories, like a bunch of, you know, backwoods, like Weyland-Yutani scientists. Like, Crucible would have explored more mythos than, you know, a six-hour shoot-em-up.
Yep.
It's these ideas that fall by the wayside when all they want to make is shooter after shooter after shooter after shooter after shooter. Now, I guess since I found out the Sega deal is done the other day when they announced that Fox Next Games, Fox's new video game unit, will be taking over, and they're making a first-person shooter based on the Alien franchise, which I'm not going
to... Surprise!
Yeah, surprise!
Thank God that territory hasn't been explored yet.
Right, yeah, I know. It's totally new. Fresh, breaking new ground. It broke new ground! You know what? I'm not gonna cast too much judgment, but I want to see different stuff happen. I don't need another Colonial Marine shooter
with a good story.
Yeah, story first.
Yeah,
put story first. Put something that I want to play. I don't need another pulse rifle game to shoot aliens. That's why, like, Alien Isolation scared the piss out of me on more than one occasion.
I had to stop because awesome. I was doing walkthroughs for that, and no one wanted to hang out and play it.
I'll end up playing with it.
I was like, man.
Or maybe we should all do it together. That's one game you guys should play all the way through.
Yeah.
It was a fun experience for me. And, of course, I played it in the dark like, you know, an idiot.
I had to take
several bathroom breaks.
Yeah, I'm definitely excited to go through that game again. It's been a while.
Yeah, so... But anyway, so Fox Next is developing this game, or they're going to publish it. They bought Cold Iron Studios, who's responsible for Star Trek Online.
Yep.
So I don't know if they're looking to actually make a shooter out of it. Maybe that's just what the story became. Maybe it might be more of a experience akin to Aliens Online, which was an old, like, you know, online only game. Which would be really neat too. It had RPG elements and stuff, so it might be something. So I'm gonna wait for more information before I start getting on my high horse and yelling at everybody for shit. But, so I don't know.
That's a nice change.
Yeah.
We're not gonna rage to have all the facts. The other cool thing is those same developers are the people who are making Marvel's Strike Force, which is the next mobile game that's like Star Wars Heroes.
Yeah, it's just like Star Wars Galaxy Heroes, but the trailer looks really neat, and I'm going to play it on my phone. I'm going to play it.
Yeah. And Dante even said the artwork looks quote-unquote cool.
Yeah, Dante said he's going to play it.
The artwork is awesome. I just don't want to play games on my phone.
No, you're going to play it, though.
I don't want to do it.
He's just like a curmudgeon old man. Did you see
Iron Man bouncing the...
I'm an old... Yeah, it was just like Marvel Ultimate Alliance 2. That game came out like fucking 10 years ago. It looks cool.
Why not?
And it's cool as shit. Yeah, it's cool. I want another game like that on my console. I don't want to play it on my phone.
Just hook your phone to your TV.
No.
You walk around your house with a Switch.
No.
What's the difference between the Switch and the Switch?
Because I'm on my phone all the goddamn time for work and all that stuff. I don't want to do it. I don't want to do it.
You just being petty, man.
I don't want to do it. Put it on the Vita. Put it on. Well, not the Vita's dead. Put it on the Switch. Put it on the Switch.
The Vita is not dead. Right.
Eddie plays it.
Resuscitate the Vita.
Don't make me make him pause this podcast.
You know I love the Vita. I have a freaking. My Vita's right there. My Vita's right there. It's probably charged up and ready to go. I've been playing Final Fantasy 9 on it.
Yeah. Like,
what are you going to do? The Vita's awesome. But they're not going to make any games for it. Put it on the Switch. Switch has a touchscreen. Put it on that. I'll play it. I'll probably drop $30, $40 on that thing in whatever in-game currency bullshit they want to do.
That's impressive.
Do it. I'll play it.
You hear this? Do it.
Do it. I'll play it. I just don't want to play it on my phone.
All right. Fine. We'll let you know how it is and, you know.
Do the mobile game shit. I know the mobile
roll
game. Fuck you guys and fuck Roll Tide. Nick Saban, go eat a dick.
Oh, man.
Break that out into a set of side point.
Yeah, we'll skip that as a segment in the podcast.
The man's one letter away from being the devil, okay? It's not a coincidence.
And for you guys that, you know or don't know Dante, he's a Dolphins fan. So
scumbag.
Most people are listening to a video game podcast. I'm not saying all of them, but most of them probably like, who the fuck cares?
Dante cares.
I know. So one of the next things is that came up that I you know what, personally, this is Michael speaking. I know how to push buttons apparently on the Twitter, but I posted the new news about the Nintendo Labo and what do you guys think of that?
I just watched the trailer with you guys a couple minutes ago. I hadn't really seen all about it, but I love the idea. I absolutely love it. It's so different than, like, you wouldn't dare see, you know, Sony or Microsoft do something like this. But I'm a little off with the price point. You're making stuff out of cardboard that's probably pretty easily destroyed. It's like I
or
said,
if you rip it out of the template, it could be
right. Yeah. So I mean, it's for kids and it's for adults that are secretly kids.
I'm an adult who's a kid. I think it's a cool concept.
Yeah,
for sure.
I love the concept. I want to have a kid like right now, just so I can, you know, have an excuse to buy it and not look like an idiot. But no, I just don't think the price point is right. It's very cool though. Did you see the robot stuff?
Yeah, the robot stuff was great.
That
and
was,
like the strings that all control the
I was
mechanics
like, oh,
of
man, I gotta
punching
do that.
Buildings and different things
I
like
that
and
do that.
Transforming and stuff. It looks great. And the keyboard that I'm a musician. I like musical things. That seems like it'd be a fun experiment. I wonder if you can actually like record with the software what you're playing because that'd be really cool and play that back.
They're probably gonna make you do that with another phone app.
Probably.
It'll
burn.
It's gonna be
wow. Yeah.
I think this thing is awesome. The technology is amazing. I don't want to give them too much crap about price point because you don't know how you have to take into account shipping and manufacturing.
Well, it's coming
like
with
that.
Other
like,
things like gears
yeah,
and stuff.
I mean, you're getting software.
Like
it's not just the cardboard because corrugated cardboard is like $250 per ton, literally per ton. So. It's not like they're just like, hey, it's, you know, we're going to throw all this money at cardboard. Like, they have to pay freight. They have to pay handling. They had, like, all that. There's extra,
packaging
there's,
and
yeah,
all that.
Extra
yeah, I get
costs
it.
Involved
I get it.
In this. So it's like, you know, I don't want to give them too much crap about price point, but this is, like, we're better as a community. And we're, like, games are better when Nintendo's weird. And this is...
No.
This is just cool. Yeah. I mean, this isn't their first time being weird as shit. I mean, this isn't as crazy as a Virtual Boy or Rob.
That's
or a
true.
Power Glove or a Power Pad or any of that crap. Like, this is...
Well, Rob was just a trick. I mean, he was a Trojan horse to get sure. Nintendo into stores after the video
sure.
game crash.
And this like this
and
like
it
just,
worked like it worked. It was nuts yeah. and it worked.
And it just feels like this is more Nintendo going back to their roots of like, hey, we're a toy company too. So, you know, I know this isn't for me. It's not something I want. If I had kids, I would probably love it. If I was 8-year-old Dante and this came out, I would be freaking the hell out wanting to play
yeah,
with this thing.
Yeah. I mean
there's a couple of friends I have that have kids that have already seen this and they've already pre-ordered it.
Yeah.
Like my one buddy tried to keep his son away from it, you know, from his son from seeing the video. He lasted a day.
Wow.
And then, you know, one of his friends sent him a YouTube link on whatever the hell it was. And he saw it, and he's like, "Dad, I want this, and I need this, and I need one for my birthday." And he's like, "Fine, screw it, I'll pre-order it, and
there you go.
It's done." I mean,
I'm all about DIY stuff and, like, you know, like messing around with Raspberry Pis and, like, you know, building unique things and experimenting with code and all that. So I think it's really cool and it's unique. It's something different. Like, the Raspberry Pi is awesome, but, like, the Switch is even, like, more powerful, so it can do a lot more crazier things. Plus the mechanics on, you know, you got those two side controllers that have a lot of force feedback and, you know measuring of what you're doing. So, I mean, it's cool. It's got a lot of stuff. So I would love to see where it's going to take the Switch, like what new direction it's going to take it, because it looks like it's starting to take into account. I mean, not to go argue against, like, AR, but VR is pretty cool. How, like, the mech thing, you're putting that thing over your eyes, you know, you have the Switch, you know, you're going a little crazy with it, and that's cool. But, you know, I feel like it's definitely like a niche experimental software type thing, which is fun. I wonder if any of these things are going to have, like, story or in-depth gaming to it. You know, or if it's
I should hope so, because you're going to pay $300 for this from a scalper.
Well, I don't know.
There's going to be like five per store.
Well, I mean, you're right. You're probably right. You're probably absolutely right. The supply and demand is probably going to be crazy.
I finally saw an SNES Classic in a store 2 days ago for the first time. Hadn't seen one in a store.
Really?
And I
really?
Saw one. And I thought about buying it. I'm like,
you should have just bought it to sell it on eBay.
I mean, I looked at the eBay prices. I looked at the eBay prices, and I'm like, it's I'm gonna make like $30-$40 on it.
Yeah, no, it's not even worth it.
By the time I pay the fee and pay shipping and stuff, like, no,
it's just too much of a hassle.
$10. Like, I'm not gonna make 10. No, yeah. I'm all good.
If you see,
or you could save it for a really awesome birthday or, you know, Christmas gift to someone that really wanted one.
Yeah,
I'd rather buy him a Raspberry Pi.
Yeah,
yeah.
I'd rather buy him a Raspberry Pi. Why wouldn't I do that?
Yeah, it's true.
Just to have it. You see another one in the store and you don't buy it, I'm going to smack the shit out of you.
Right now. No, I'm just kidding.
Remember when I accidentally punched you in the mouth during Eight-Legged Freaks?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Think that. Think that. And then I will run just as fast.
So
it was smart. I just don't want, like, people are like, I've seen some stuff on Twitter about this being a really bad idea for Nintendo because it could cost them a lot of money. And this isn't THQ with UDraw, okay? This isn't going to take down Nintendo.
No.
Let's just calm the hell down.
No, I think it's good that they're trying to put the Switch in a different viewpoint and trying to get a different sort of crowd, you know, experimenting and doing things with it.
Like I said, I love when Nintendo...
It's creative.
I
like
when
that.
Nintendo gets weird. I think we're better... When they're weird, when they experiment.
Yeah, no, it pushes, like, what, like, look what they did with the Wii. It pushed the boundaries of gaming so that they could, and their level at least, so they came up with a Switch.
Yeah, and grandparents could play.
Yeah, and grandparents could play. Yeah, my grandma loved Wii bowling, so, sure, yeah. I mean.
They did in old folks' homes. That shit was awesome.
You know, maybe this can work in old folks' homes, too, because they like to make things and do arts and crafts, and, you know.
Yeah.
I like to think that Nintendo was just looking for a brand new idea, so they went to visit, like, Miyamoto in his treehouse outside the headquarters. They're like, hey, what do you got? And he's just like, making arts and crafts.
Making cardboard origami.
Yeah.
That's what in the video game.
He goes, sold. All right, let's go.
Let's do it.
Like, he must save them so much R&D time, it's ridiculous.
Bless that man.
Yeah.
God, yeah. Bless that man.
I mean, Rockstar. We were talking about the other day how the Switch needs more unique things, and
Pikmin 7 or, like, you know, whatever they're working on.
I will buy Pikmin tomorrow if it comes out.
It's unique, that's for sure.
That's great. 9 years between Metroid titles, but let's get another Pikmin game.
I would love a Metroid game for the Switch.
We're gonna get Metroid. We're probably gonna get it this year.
Yeah, they were shamed into announcing it. Like, they didn't have screen cap one because they weren't doing anything yet.
Yeah,
we're probably gonna get Metroid this year. Fingers crossed, we get Metroid this year. Because if we don't. There's really not a whole lot on the Switch this year that
I'm making it again?
Because
it's not retro.
I have no idea. I don't want to know.
I think they announced.
I don't even want to know. Give me it.
Just give me it.
That's the wrong way to do things.
Just give me the damn game. I don't care.
Definitely.
I will quickly consume this media and then gripe about it later. So it's like, yeah, give me.
So we're pretty much on the same page with this, though.
Yeah. Okay. No, it is. It's a very cool idea. If you can find them. And you're not worried about paying $80 for it.
Let's hope that there's
cool, man.
Better
get
supply.
It. Yeah, it's a really unique thing. I think it's cool.
It's not gonna make you buy a Switch though.
I will get one. Nintendo, really? Like, remember all the bitching up and down I was doing about the Switch? It's because I was concerned. I'm like, this is what you guys are doing, and I'm more than happy to be wrong. I'm glad I was wrong. Nintendo's having a lot of success in that arena. It's a really cool console. Zelda's amazing. Mario's amazing. And people are like, well, there's not enough games for yet. It's like, well, there will be. It's still fairly new.
Yeah.
You got Zelda and new Mario on a system within a year release.
Shit's crazy.
You're doing good. You're doing good.
You know what I just thought of that would be ridiculous?
What's that?
Is if they had a Labo kit for current games that we have out there, like a Zelda thing or something, where you have two like figures with the controllers and you're making them fight on the table as like combat.
I
would do that.
I think I'm physically sweating right now thinking about a Nintendo Labo that looks like the Master Sword.
Oh my god, I would buy
another
that.
One for
okay.
The another one for the shield.
Okay, so
oh my god.
Like okay, now we're coming up with cool ideas. Like, if they did that right off the gate, I'd pay $80 for that if I could play Zelda.
Take all my money.
Oh my god,
take
yes.
Take it.
Nintendo, yeah, I mean, make that. That would be so awesome.
Yeah, I mean, like, get, like look at just possibly third parties getting into this.
Yeah, I could, the potential is great, I think. So if they could work that into, like, gameplay for bigger, like, the real games and stuff, mm-hmm. man, you have done it all. I'm excited. I'm really excited right now. I want to go buy a Master yeah. Sword and duct tape my Switch mote to it. Just to
yeah.
see, you know, like,
oh,
yeah,
man.
Let's do that. Okay, that was, man, I'm so excited. I forgot the next topic.
I don't remember words.
I don't know the next topic because I'm so excited.
It's going to be like, what the hell is Cartman's character name when he was in, like, Full Cardboard? It's like, Awesome-O.
Awesome-O?
Yeah.
I am Awesome-O.
Like, yeah, it'd be
Awesome-O 9000.
Yeah. 9000. I would wear that cardboard and play a South Park game.
Hell yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
So Dante, your last topic that you want to talk about is, since you have you and Eddie both have a disturbingly amount of backlog games.
Yeah.
Staggering.
I have a really bad backlog. And we've had I think we did a topic a long while ago about, you know, how bad our backlogs are. And so the reason I'm bringing it up is because I finished Mario Odyssey with like 370 something moons.
Good man.
So I love the game. And
I love it too.
And there's another, like, if you get 500 and you can get another part of the game, which is called the Darker Side of the Moon, and go through another boss rush thing, and there's other things. I don't know if I'm ever going to do that. So I wanted more of a Mario fix, so I went and started playing Mario Sunshine again. And what a great... It's such a damn good game. Like, such a kick-ass, really
yeah,
good platform.
Absolutely.
It's beautiful. It still looks on a... You know, it's a 15-year-old game,
and
it's
looks
still
wonderful.
Just this beautiful, vibrant, colorful game platformer. And it still looks really, really good, even on, you know, an original Wii. I'm playing it on the Wii instead of the GameCube because I sold my GameCube.
Oh wow!
But,
did you really?
Yeah.
Jeez, I didn't think that was gonna happen.
Well,
did you sell
I mean,
that? Would you sell
everything.
To Eddie?
I can play. No, I'm my cousin.
Oh, okay.
I probably needed another one.
Well, I don't know. You
collect. I traded it for another Xbox.
Like,
God damn it!
I still have. Yeah, you went and switched it up for another Xbox. Dickhead.
This is facts. These are history facts.
Yeah. Snip, snap, snip, snap. I sold it because I still have my original Wii, and all my GameCube stuff works on the Wii, so why keep both? Like, I just,
yeah,
you know,
makes sense.
It was just consolidating nerd stuff. And
wait, you can actually stick a GameCube thing disconnect?
Yeah, the first generation of Wii's
oh,
all
I forgot
all
about
GameCube
that.
Yeah, I have all my controllers, I have my Waybird, I have my memory card, all that. Like,
yeah, why not?
The vast
then?
Majority of my games I still have, you know, I sold some because they were just too much money to not
or wait,
sell them.
Was it the first generation of Wii's that play?
I'm
like
not,
they,
I don't
they,
remember.
They always play GameCube games, right? They just don't always have the controllers.
I didn't. Yeah. I don't remember. It's been a while.
I don't remember the manufacturing of it and stuff. It was
okay.
After. It was after I gave a shit about the Wii. So.
Oh. Well then.
But mine still does. I've got my Wavebird.
I can
adapter
see it sticking right out.
Still
of the
hooked,
top.
At, you know, hooked up into the Wii and my controller and stuff. Anyway, so the reason I bring it up is because I have a backlog of literally 38 games, current games, either on the Xbox One, PS4, Switch, you know, that I want to play. And then there's another 12 to 15 games that came out in the last year or two that I want to get to. Most of them are shorter indie games, but still, yeah. Like, there's a lot of games. That's over 50 games.
And to put it in perspective, this man is so sick that he has an Excel sheet list of everyone that he's going to go through and
I
want to
play him. Like, I want to play him.
That's highly organized,
you know,
and very efficient.
You know, I've either played a good amount of these games or I haven't played them at all, but
yeah.
I haven't beaten them. So this is like, I want to finish these games.
I am compulsive like that. I need
and
to beat my games.
And it's more like, it's... I'm not one of those people that are just going to keep plugging through just because I played it and I bought it. Like, I want to actually do it. It's not... It's not. Well, games. Yeah. These aren't. Yeah, these aren't.
If there's
games
a game I'm playing that I'm like, I hate this, I'm not gonna beat it. I'm not gonna keep like, playing. If it's something I love and I put it aside for a little bit, I want to go back and actually play it and beat it because I'm enjoying it. Yeah, I get it. I totally get it.
I'm not gonna slog through something just because I.
No, like for me, like one of my big ones that's on my list that I need to play is Horizon Zero Dawn. Like I got so distracted with Zelda that I stopped playing that game, and I need to go back because it was so good. And I'm like, crap, you know.
That was in my top three last year for sure.
Yeah, so it was fantastic. I'm like, oh, I need more time.
Well, that's why, like, I just don't buy games anymore unless I'm gonna. That's my solution. My back catalog is staggering. I have a couple of games from the OG Xbox that I haven't even played yet.
Which blows my mind.
It's just because there's always stuff coming out. There's always stuff I want to play. There's always stuff I want to do, and then I get hung up on one particular game, and Oddworld, Stranger's Wrath. I still have it. It's never been in my Xbox, but I own a copy for Xbox.
Is it still in the plastic?
It's not still in the cellophane.
Okay, all right.
I have opened it, but it's never gone in my console.
Jeez. It's probably got that crisp feel, you know?
Oh, the disc still smells like the fresh printing on the top of the disc. You remember that brand new disc?
Oh, yeah.
I smell it. I'll smell it all day.
The ink from the instruction booklet when we used to actually have game manuals.
Those are the days.
Oh my god!
Now we're dating ourselves.
We're old.
Come on, man! You guys want to play this?
Smell this game.
So I know what you're talking about. And the thing is, it's like, and I get them because I need them in my collection. I don't know, you know, it's like, especially if it's like a, you know. You know, Japanese game or something
yeah,
like that.
Totally.
Like, oh yeah, well, they're going to end production on it, and then price is going to go up. Like, Dragon Ball Final Bout. You know, I had to have it, and then it went up.
Dude,
you remember how that came so bad? It was the worst, but it was a localized Dragon Ball fighting game for the original PlayStation.
This is just to date ourselves too. Like, this is back when Dragon Ball didn't get jack shit over here.
We had up until a certain part of the Frieza saga.
Yeah,
and it was like the ocean dub, so it was all the Canadian guys. Like Brian Drummond was doing Vegeta and like all this stuff. Yeah, and then like as soon as we like every time they would air all these episodes on like Fox at 5 a.m. on Saturdays, like we get to like those Namek episodes. We're like, come on, you got more episodes. And then it would start over the next weekend. Son of a bitch.
Starting over again. Yeah. Like Goku's barbecuing.
What the hell is this? No.
Yeah.
No. So this game was absolutely god awful. The graphics sucked. The fighting engine was bad, but I played the shit out of it cause it was Dragon Ball.
Yeah. I want to be young and dumb.
Yeah.
Right. And I got it for $40 at Toys R Us. And then I found out it was worth $150.
Why? Well, that's nice.
Well, because there were only when Bandai published it, there were only 10,000 to 20,000 English copies of it before they just didn't make any
more. I didn't realize that.
I didn't know either. So like it at Funko Land, it was worth $150. So I'm like, well, yeah,
Funko Land,
yeah. So I'm like, yeah, I'm gonna get rid of it right now.
Yeah, might as well.
And I had it for a while at that point. I just didn't play it anymore because it was dumb. But I ended up getting another copy of Chrono Trigger. OG Chrono Trigger.
Nice.
Yeah, you know what I mean.
Oh, hell yeah.
And a couple other things. And then literally not a month later, Atari re-released it for PlayStation. And then it was worth nothing.
Really?
Yeah, so I just got my window and I just.
It's like
got
the stock buy low video game.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah,
that's you're like the Rupert Murdoch of fucking,
woo!
Fucking video games.
I honestly have a stack of games that I have to get through too. One of mine is Link Between Worlds on 3DS.
Yeah, 3DS.
I still have that in the plastic. I haven't even, you know. Hey, cat, get out of here. We have a visitor on the podcast here. She wanted to get her 2 cents in. But no, that's
like your backlog. Like.
Yeah, she's got a big backlog, apparently. She's just like, she had to just burst here and tell us. But no, Link Between Worlds is one of them. I forget some of the other ones. Some of the older games, like on Xbox One, like some of the first ones that came out, I have wrapped in the plastic still that I haven't even played. Yeah. I have a list like you, though. I'm OCD. I made like a little Excel sheet and I'm just going through. Oh, I know the big one. The new Final Fantasy game. They didn't patch that for a while.
15.
Yeah, 15.
Yeah.
So I waited for that patch, and then I forgot about it for a while. So, like, it's all patched on my Xbox One, ready to go.
Yeah.
And, like, I still have to play. I'm on, like, chapter 7, I think.
Yeah, I think your experience with that game will be so much better than my experience.
Yeah, that's why I stopped. Because you guys were like, don't play it any further.
Just, I won't. They're still patching that game.
Yeah.
They're still patching it. They're still adding stuff to it. They're still, you know, releasing DLC episodes and all that stuff. Like, I will never ever go back and play that game because it didn't respect my time. It didn't respect the actual story of that game. There were literal chunks of story
completely missing.
So I'm never gonna go back and play it. I'm sure for you
it's gonna be different.
It'll
for
be
me.
Better, you know. It'll be,
I waited. I knew, when I, as soon as yeah. I heard about that, I was like, I'm not wasting my time. I stopped playing it. I put it back in the case.
I think I sent you a text when I got to that point. I'm like, what the?
You're like, how far are you?
What's going on? What the hell? The game just skipped. It's gone.
Yeah.
I'm finding out this all this from NPCs. I'm finding out shit from a text gob.
I was so sad when you told me that because I was so excited to get absorbed in it and just go heads down. And I'm like, son of a bitch, are you kidding me?
So I wanted to bring this up because it's something that I don't struggle with. I'm not struggling playing video games. That's stupid. But
sounds like it's an addiction.
Shut up, Mike. I only have so much time. I only have so much bandwidth to play video games, and it's just you know how I divvy up my time because I play games to enjoy them.
Yeah.
And it's, you know, I have a crazy backlog. I have like I said, 12 to 15 games from last year that I still want to buy, and most of them are.
So the question is, how do you deal with it?
A hob, and then also in the next like 3 months, we got the Dragon Ball Z game coming out. We've got Lost Sphere, which is
looks
the guys.
Great.
Yeah, it looks great. It's the guys that made I Am Setsuna, which I loved. It's a
same here.
Yeah, it's like
that's another game I haven't finished that I have.
Yeah, it's
I love.
You know, like a turn-based old school style square RPG looks great, and then the game that I'll drop 80-90 hours on is Ni No Kuni 2, and it's coming out in the end of March. And I'm gonna freaking inject that game into my veins like it's fucking heroin, and you guys will never see me again. I'm like Ray Charles with that shit.
but that's how our problem gets worse. The release schedules don't stop.
I know. Yeah. So I guess to answer your question, how I go about it is I kind of mix it up. Like I have my lists and stuff, and I'm like, all right, what game am I playing right now? And then I'll play that one game, and then say, all right, I'll play an old game and then play a new game and play an old game and a new game. That's kind of how I kind of go back and forth. Because if I don't do that and I just keep playing the new stuff, there's always something new.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Like, and, you know, for the sake of the site, you know, for reviewing stuff and for understanding news and doing things like that, I always play a new one and mix them with my old, you know.
Right.
So I just kind of go back and forth.
So when are we going to get Genital Jousting?
Oh, we're going to get that as soon as possible. I'm going to email the developer on that. Yeah, Genital Jousting. Brand new game.
It's from that South African team that did Broforce.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, great, crazy. Great developers. Hilarious guys. Funny.
What a great title screen.
Oh, yeah.
It's one of the best title screens I've ever.
It's absolutely ridiculous.
Ever seen. It's so ridiculous.
And we're not kidding. That's really the title of the game. If you haven't seen it, Google it. Genital Jousting. Put video game afterwards or Steam or something. So you know. Get
you
something
you
really
get,
bad.
Well, but if you don't put it, you'll get some cooler.
You might get some cooler images. Results. Yeah, maybe if I'm, you know what? I'll be nice. I'll see if I can put a link in the end of the podcast so you guys can click on that and know exactly where it's taking you. So,
Michael, Google it for you.
Yeah, right? I'll do the hard work. And
he doesn't think you can Google.
Yeah. Mike's search search history.
I'm already ruined.
Yeah.
So you know.
to be deleted.
Right. So, but I think we tackled a lot of the main points. I mean. That's how I handle it. You just go all out.
I just try to play. I pretty much just play whatever the hell I want, but that contributes to the piling on of backlog. And
that's what I do.
How do you handle it?
I have no organization whatsoever.
Yeah, that's how
I play whatever I want to play in that moment, and then literally I'll play something for 10 minutes, and I'm like, you know what? I kind of want to play something else. So like I'm bouncing around all over the place.
Okay.
But like. You know, obviously, like, if I'm playing something like, you know, Last of Us or whatever, like, I'll just, you know, sit down with that. But it's like, I'll jump on Destiny 2 and I'll be like, oh, wait, I don't want to play this right now. And then,
yeah.
Then I'll pop something else on, you know, Fury or, like, whatever else I'm working on at the moment. But at the same time, it's like, you know, two other games will come and go and then I'll get something that, you know, like, will kind of jump in line in front of something else. And then I forget about, you know, whatever I was working on before. So it ends up being... you know, disastrous when I have, like, you know, $2,000 to $3,000 worth of video games collected over, like, you know, a decade that I just haven't finished yet. You know?
Yeah, I mean, like, you're not buying all these games at full price. Like, a lot of this stuff is a lot cheap. And
absolutely.
Yeah, especially when you get those, like, flash sales and things like that on PSN or Xbox. Like, you're getting games for cheap. I didn't even think of that.
Holy shit.
I know, right, the digital PlayStation
Xbox stores. One, I've been collecting games for gold
for
years.
Yeah.
My God, my digital library is ridiculous, and a lot of it I haven't even touched.
Same here.
Yeah, I try not to count those. Oh. Unless it's something that I actually am interested in playing.
Damn it.
Yeah. See, it's crazy.
The struggle is real.
It makes you feel terrible about yourself.
It doesn't help, especially this year, because 2017 was
a great year.
Is right there. I don't know. It's like it's right there with 2007 and 1997. Like, they're the greatest years in video games in history. Like,
once in a decade.
Hey man,
there is a year,
and there's some nerd symmetry there. It's 1997, 2007, 2017. You get those, like, those are pretty generally regarded as the greatest years in video games.
I'll be.
This shit's crazy, man. Like, I Persona 5's on my list. I never touched it.
That's another game.
I really want to play it. I've never even touched it. Like, there's like, oh, there's another 100-hour game. Cool.
Yeah. That's exactly how.
Maybe
I feel.
That's why I'm like getting a little bit away from RPGs.
Falling in that.
Yeah. That's the thing. It's like I was Final Fantasy freak growing up. I have everything up to 12.
I even 12. Have 12. Yeah.
Yeah. I've never touched 13. Didn't
Trash.
Look very good to me.
Trash.
But like. Yeah, I don't have that kind of commitment in me anymore, the 40, 50, 60 hours. For me, like, you know, narrative-wise, stuff like Last of Us is perfect.
Yeah, I like the movie type.
It's very cinematic without being dragged out into a 40, 50-hour thing, and it tells a great story in a modest amount of time. It's not too short, but it's not too long either.
Yeah.
It's just right.
Just right. I agree.
Y'all want to go get some porridge?
Yeah.
Last of Us is so good.
He's just like, yeah.
I'm so good.
it's so good.
Dante's hugging himself right now.
I'm very excited and scared for the sequel.
Yeah, I'm curious to see.
Very excited.
Yeah.
Okay.
That goes down.
I think we
wrapped it, though.
I think we're done. I don't want to talk to these guys anymore.
All right. Well, thanks, everyone, for listening. If you have any comments, put them below on the page. And, yeah, we'll see you next podcast.
Bye, Duchess Maybe. Eddie.
Bye.
The Load of Gravy signing out.
What are you, an Earl?
Earl.
I don't have a corresponding name for that, so all fuck right. You.
Bye, everyone.
Fuck.